Okay, so we're starting a Peidalad Amud Aleph. This is the new sugya about the Shlichusai Kav Dinan, about doing Beis Din in Chutzlarts, doing certain dinim, so judging certain cases. And so we're starting four lines from the bottom. And the case came before Rava of a shore that chewed up a kid's hand. Okay. And he says, Rava said, go evaluate the kid like an Eved to figure out how much the Nezik is. He said, but you, Rava, are the one who holds that if it requires to be evaluated like an Eved, you don't do it in Bavel. And Rashi says, because it's a davarish in katsav, something that's not a fixed amount. And that you don't do in Bavel, the Gemara is going to explain why not. Okay, but things that are not fixed, at least Rashi, the way he presents it here, it's like that's the whole issue. Things that are not fixed, not a davar katsav, they can't be done in Bavel, and they require Beis Din of Eretz Yisrael, which the Gemara will get to. So why? And Rav is the one who says that, and here you have to evaluate the kid as an Eved. So why exactly, why are you saying to do it? So Rav says, no, the reason is the itafas, if he grabs it. Meaning, if the child, or whatever, the father of the child, not clear who, grabs it today, tomorrow, whatever it is, so then if he grabs it on his own, he'll be able to keep it, right? And that's why he's doing the evaluation. But really, in Hanami, Beis Din in themselves are not going to implement this din. They're not going to actually judge it and take the money from one to the other. But they're going to do a shuma, they're going to do an evaluation, such that if the guy grabs it on his own, then he'll be able to keep it. Yeah.
It's funny though that we still are, the business still is able to do the evaluation itself.
Right.
So it's funny that like now once you have the evaluation, now what's the difference between a fixed thing and a non-fixed thing? Once you have evaluated the thing.
Right. Okay, good.
Now you have a number in front of you. So what's the
difference? Right. Okay, good question. I guess we're going to get Rashi, you're going to have to see the explanation, right?
Yeah.
You're right. Okay, good. Okay, go ahead, another question.
What exactly does the estimation do? If you took too much, do they make him return the extra?
I would think so, yeah.
Okay.
Because that would be stealing, right?
That would be stealing.
Right.
Would it be stealing if they didn't do an evaluation?
Okay, good question. Right, what would happen if they didn't do evaluation? Right, would it be stealing? It would seem so. It seems he'd have to return it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't do the evaluation.
Even the proper amount. The hypothetically proper
amount. What?
Even the hypothetically proper amount.
Right. If you didn't do the evaluation.
Well, I would have said it was just we just don't know what will be stealing and what won't be. We're just unsure.
And then what would happen?
And then, I don't know. I mean, I guess out of suffix, maybe you give it back, but. Like
if it was a suffix, then whoever has it, how much
or fine, maybe that out of suffix you keep it, but it would just be a case of suffix. It wouldn't be like
but then what's the difference? Then why would you? There's no need to evaluate it if you'd be able to keep it anyway.
Yeah.
Nah. I don't think so. I think the symbol shot is that the itafas, that now that if he takes it, he can keep it. That's what Rashi says. Im yitfos mishalo, if he grabs it on his own, yak venu, he can keep it, implying that if you didn't do the shum evaluation, you wouldn't let him keep it. You'd have to give it up. Right? Okay, so, okay, good. So to formulate the question, I said it before, but formulate the question is, if Beis Din basically can't do anything here, right, in this area of Davar Sheina Katsav, whatever it is, right? So Beis Din can't do anything, so then what's their evaluation worth? Why should there be nafkaminas here? It should just be like a practical gilei das, whatever it is, right? Of how much is worth. Not gilei das, not the right word, but it's a gilei milsa of how much the thing is worth. But then let's say the kid grabbed $10. Clearly, the kid's worth thousands, right? They grab $10 for sure. That's good enough. So why do you even need to do the evaluation? Like, what is the significance of Beis Din's shuma, Beis Din's evaluation, if Beis Din doesn't have any authority in this manner? Right. So, what do you have to say? So, you have to say that the halacha of kol hanishim ke'evet in govnosa b'bavel, that you don't, you won't. It's a halacha of collection, a Beis Din will not execute a din. They will not implement a mishpat. So they can evaluate it. They can go through the case and figure out exactly who owes who what and what's the halacha and who's chayv to who. But in terms of the actual gviya, the actual collecting, taking from party A and giving to party B, that's something that they can't do in Bavel. But in order to go through the case and figure out who's chayv what, that they could do in Bavel, and that has halachic nafkaminas, that the itafos, if one of them grabs it, he can keep it, right? It's just halacha and Bezin's ability to be gova, to collect the debt, transfer from one to the other. But not there in a, but they don't have an ability to be done it. They could be done the case and figure it out. And it has a halachic nafkamina. Okay, what are they doing? What are they doing when they're evaluating? What's their nisham worth? What is it? What are they doing? So one way, the most extreme way to say it is that until Beis Din is done the case, there's simply no chiyuv at all. Okay, but I think it's too extreme. I think the Gemara's are mashma not that way. I forgot. I don't know off the top of my head what's the one to say, but then the chiyuv does emerge right away because the rice, you mazik somebody, you owe them money. But I think that the sugi here is taking up the issue of the nisham, the evaluation itself. And the question we have to define is, what is the evaluation doing? Okay, and it's relevant to Gemara, the prior Gemara. Right? The prior Gemara had a case where the donkey cut off the hand of the child, and the father didn't want the child to be evaluated because it would be a zilzal for either him or the child, right? And then the Gemara said to, or whatever the Bezin said to him, but you're causing the child to lose money because now he's not going to be able to collect. Because in 10 years, you can't do the evaluation. It's not possible. And now you can't collect anymore without the evaluation. So you see the evaluation itself is playing a critical role in allowing him to collect the money. And over here also, until Beis Din does the evaluation, there's no validity to the tfisa of the nizak. He can't just grab what he's owed, even though he was damaged, but he can't grab what he's owed until the evaluation is done. So the question is can we define what exactly does this evaluation do? Right? Is there a way to define, as opposed to just saying in a more blanket way, that until evaluation there's no chiyuv, we say something that's a little bit more subtle, maybe. You know, as opposed to saying like the basing is about, there's like no chiyuv. Basing creates the chiyuv. See, by knossos you say that I think you do, that like by knoss, until Beis Din, it's machlokas. Until by knas, Beis Din creates a knas, because there's no intrinsic hischaivus like by knas. If you your knas kefil, I don't know kefil. But if you steal it, you have to give something back. But in terms of the double of the kefil, when Beis Din judges you, you know, and if edim come and say that you did it, then Beis Din will be machayv you knas, and Beis Din creates a knas. Okay, b'shas, I think it's b'shas, whatever. You just think it's meruba. Okay, but by the nezik itself, what's mechayev you to pay is the fact that you damage somebody. Not Beis Din. Beis Din is just figuring out what happened, but they don't create the chiyuv. Like knas, they create a chiyuv, but by the tashlumin, it's the very damage itself that creates the chiyuv, right? But what's unique to these, this again, the prior one we did, is the nisham, the evaluating him like an eved. So what's the way to conceptualize the role that Beis Din plays in that, such that if you don't do the evaluation, we have two nafkaminas. Well, really one, almost the same. Is basically, if you don't do the evaluation, then the guy essentially can't collect. And even if he grabs it, it has no validity. Or the prior gemara we see can't collect, too late. And this gemara is going even further, is that even if he grabs it, it won't work. Right? Yeah. So what is it doing? Yeah.
What do you mean by no validity?
Before the evaluation, there is a amorphous chiyuv. It doesn't have a tzur, it doesn't have a fixed form. It's not concretized. What is it? So it is a chiyuv to compensate him for the nezik, for the loss of the hand. That's the form it is. But if I grab $20, $30, that's not the same thing as compensating for the loss of the hand. It's who knows what that is. The evaluation of the Beis Din takes it from being this abstract, it takes it from being an abstract hischaivus, and concretizes it into a form of money, into giving a specific form of money. So it transitions it from an abstract hischaivus to a concrete hischaivus, to something that's actual and genuine. You could be toe-faced. You could grab it now. It's not just an abstract idea. It's a concrete chiyuv that you have to pay him a certain amount of money to compensate him for his hand. Once it's been concretized and given a tsura by Beis Din through the process of valuation, then if he grabs it, he's realizing his chiyuv. Like in a certain sense, the chiyuv is only, it's a potential chiyuv. It hasn't been actualized until Beis Din gives it a concrete form. It exists in abstract as a chiyuv, but and potentially it could be money, but it needs that evaluation in order to actualize it and concretize it and give it a specific number. I mean, make it katsav, a davar katsav. Once it's davar katsav, then it can exist as an actual chiyuv, not just like a potential chiyuv. Until basically it's potential. It's a potential chiyuv. Until Beis Din does an evaluation and actualizes it and gives it a concrete definition, a concrete form. It gives limits, katsav, right? Like you're saying, Joe. It creates a limits to the thing. Once it has a limit, now you have an actual chiyuv, and now the guy actually takes it. Well, you owed him the money. We're not going to, that's fine. But until the actual evaluation occurs, it's this abstract, amorphous, you know, potential chiyuv, and the nizak can't just go grabbing money. The chiyuv hasn't been actualized in a certain sense. So that's the prior gemara. If the father refused to do the evaluation for his child, so then there's no... That's it. The kid's going to lose it forever. If you never do the evaluation, then the chiyuv never becomes actualized. And same thing here. If you never actually do the evaluation, the chiyuv is not going to become actualized such that if the nizak grabs it, it's not going to mean anything. The chiyuv doesn't exist in a real certain sense. It's just potentially there. But Beis Din has to transition it from a davar she'eino katsav to a davar katsav. Okay. And that is something that Beis Din can do in Bavel. You don't, right, that you don't need, we'll see in Bavel, you don't need Eretz Yisrael for that. It's the Gvia that Beis Din can't do, which is interesting and important, right? Beis Din can't collect, they can't enforce a chiyuv like that, but they can define it and they could give it limits and actualize the chiyuv through the evaluation, right? But the actual Gvia and the collection itself, that's what Beis Din and Bavel can't do. Go ahead, Yaakov.
Is this a general?
Right, the part of the thing that we need to take from here is realizing that even though it's in governance of Bavel, it doesn't mean Beis Din is nothing. Not chop meat. They still can do something. They can create the evaluation, and that has a real impact on the chiyuv, and it actualizes it and allows the nizak to be tofes. So Beis Din does exist in Bavel, and there's a reality to them. They just can't be gover the chov, right? It can't be gover the chov. So there's a reality to this Beis Din in Bavel. The Torah understands that they exist. It's just that it's not giving them the ability to be gover, to collect it. And why not? Right? That's what the sugya we have to try and understand. Why not? Because they're not just a bunch of, they're not nobodies, or else their shuma shouldn't work. And you need their shuma in order to be able to be itafas. Right? If the guy grabs it. Yeah, go ahead, Joe. Okay, it's possible. The question is, what exactly is Gvia? What is that? What is that? Why is that a thing? Right? So, so I think it's that you have to look at Din is really separated into at least two parts, three parts, you know, but at least we'll just have it two here. Is one is figuring out who owes what, who, what, you know, and that's, you know, and then there's the actual step of executing that Din, of implementing it in reality by actually taking money from one guy and giving it to the other. Now, if you just had step one of just figuring out that Reuven owes Shimon $100, but Beis Din can't enforce that, so I would think you might say, I'm not sure, but I would think there'd be a chiyuv b'dei shamayim for Reuven to give it to Shimon if he owes him the money. And if Shimon grabbed it, he'd be able to keep it because Reuven does owe him that money. But Beis Din is unable to enforce that chiyuv. So there's really, Beis Din has two roles. One is to figure out the chiyuv, concretize it, define it, determine who owes who what. And the second job is for them to execute the mishpat and to actually implement, you know, the monetary reality of Reuven owes Shimon money. Great, transfer that money from Reuven to Shimon. And that's the gvia. That's what they can't do. But just to be done it theoretically and determine who owes whom what, that they can do. And that's the Shuma. That's part of the Maaseh Matan Beis Din, maybe up to the Gemar Din itself. Right? It sounds like it's even the Gemar Din. It's just the execution of the Din that they can't do. Or they could say, Reuven owes Shimon $100, that they can do. But the actual taking the money, that's a different step. That's what they're unable to do.
Okay. I guess, how is it different than like the guy has like a field of like lula or something. Like, you don't have a system set up to force a guy to shake lula.
Okay, well, if a guy has a chiv of lulav, you do have a system set up to force him to do lulav. The guy says he doesn't want to do lulav, Bezim will whack him until he does lulav.
Right.
Kofen al mitzvah saseh.
That's true.
So we'll force that. But over here, Bezim is not going to force Reuven to pay Shimon the money. That's exactly what Bezim will not do. There's no kriya. They're not going to get involved in forcing. They're not going to transfer the money themselves. They're not going to force Reuven to pay it. But if Reuven says he doesn't want to send a sukkah or to take a lulav, whack, whack, whack. You know, until he dies or whatever.
Is that what
Bezim
does?
Yeah, Bezim. Actually, it's an option. Oh, what do you mean? In case of money? Like, are you yoyed l'tuch nechasav? Like, do you just force him to pay, or you actually take his money?
Right.
I forgot. I think we actually will go down and give it to him if he refuses to pay. Yoyed l'tuch nechasav.
You just like take his assets.
I think so. I'm not 100% sure. If it's just kfiya, like you'll force them to pay, or are we actually will take the money? Okay. I think there's complications there.
Yes.
Yeah.
For not doing
that. I mean, that's Allah Achatati Nafsha. The question is, do you really do that, or it just means it's like close? You know what I mean? Like, would you really actually kill him? He's killing himself. He's refusing to do it. You know what I mean? You're just hitting him.
No.
You know? That's his problem, you know. So, but I'm not sure. I think that's also a method of, you know, these are all sugyas, you know what I mean? No, basically Gemara is going to try its first attempt, right? Why are you distinguishing? What are the two cases? Rav the time, maybe Rav is we'll see Rav's reason first. Rav basically say in this case, shore, when a shore is damaged either by a shore or an adam, so you do collect that above them. But in this case, adam, if a person is damaged either by a shore or an adam, then you don't collect it because you're going to have to do Nishim Gabbat. You have to value him like a Nevet, which is what's the difference? So Gemara's first attempt is because of Elohim Ba'inan V'leka, because it says Elohim by Niske Adam, when a person is damaged, you're writing Parshas Mishpatim. Okay, so it says Ad Elohim Yavod Varshnehem by those two cases, by when a person is damaged, either by Shor or by an Adam. And yeah, but that whole Parsha, right, and Elohim means Mumchum Mismukhim, expert judges, right, who have Smicha, right, which is the process of establishing expert judges. And in Bavel, you don't do smicha. And therefore, you're not going to have these Elohim. You're not going to have these expert judges in Bavel. And therefore, you can't do Niske Adam. Same, but yeah, but Niske Shor also requires Elohim. There's no real difference. Because there's also some parts of Mishpatim, Arba Shomrim, or King of Shor is Regu Shor, Shor Eyu, or something like that. So you don't have, you have the same requirements of Elohim in all four cases. So why should you be Mechalik between when a person gets damaged or when a shore gets damaged? Both of them require Elohim, and you don't have them above El. Right? Okay. So, right, so, and as I said, this was the example I was talking about yesterday. It's not a real hap. I mean, Gemara is setting out this requirement of Elohim, and it's showing you that all cases apply, require Elohim. Right? What is the idea of Elohim? Okay, so the Gemara is setting out this requirement of Elohim, right? So what is this requirement? So the simplest shot is that they're mumchim usmukhim, which means they're expert judges who've been appointed as actual judges. Officially, that's what their position is in the tzibor. They have the smicha. They've been appointed to that role. So it's not enough for a person to be a lamban, to know bava kama, but he has to be appointed as a practicing judge in the society. And these cases, these dini mamonis, bein adam l'chavero, or whatever, just niske mamon, niske shor, whatever, all these cases, is you have to go to a court. Like a court has the authority to adjudicate these cases between people, between when they're fighting and they're arguing who owes who money. So this idea of a court system, it's not just a question of a go to Talmud Chacham who knows the din, but you need a court in order to implement this mishpat. Okay, why should it be that it's not enough to have knowledge to understand what the din is? Why can't people, as long as they know what they're doing, sit down even though they don't have smicha or whatever it is, they've never been officially appointed? Why can't you just go to them and have them judge? Right?
Well, you know they have knowledge.
That's what they do. Let's say it's clear. They're Rava. Rava's in Bavel. Right? There's no smicha in chutz la'aretz, but Rav is involved. He knows what he's doing. Why can't you go to Rav in his beis din? Right?
Well, you're going to have cases where not everyone's, where, you know, people know less than Rav, who think they know, and they'll try and practice.
Right. Okay, good. Means it's, you can create a problem, right? Yeah. Seeing the problem. Okay, good. Okay. Sure. But I say more is that you can't see a court, a judge has a certain amount of srara authority. He can force the nido, the niza, or the mazik to come before him and to pay the money and to, you know what I mean, is you know, there's always a tovena nitzvah. There's somebody who's being summoned to court. So you need the court to have a certain amount of authority. Right? And that's Elohim. Elohim is like a dayan because it connotes a power and authority, a srara. Like Hashem says to Moshe, Rei, Elohim nesati lapara, nesatich lapara. You're like an Elohim to power. You have a authority over him, right? So it's if you want, like a court is an official institution in a society, which has the ability to enforce its mishpat on the people. And therefore, you can't just have people who are just knowledgeable people running around forcing everybody to follow their what they think is right. Even if they're knowledgeable, they don't have the srara. They don't have the authority. They're not an Elohim. They don't have the status of an official Jewish court, which has the ability to implement mishpat in a society, Jewish society, whether the Nidon likes it or not. Okay, so that's like an element of Elohim is the authority to execute mishpat. Yeah.
Why couldn't you say?
Okay, it's a good methodology point. So Yaakov was asking, well, why couldn't you have had a system otherwise where everybody who has the requisite knowledge can do it, right? So it's true, like the philosophical reason why that doesn't work, amongst other reasons, is like I think, like you said, also Yaakov, is that it's like a disaster for the system because everybody's been running around saying that they know, and who determines? Who knows? The point is now you're taking away the official appointment of expert judges. And then everybody's going to say that they're an expert in this area. It's a disaster of a system. But that's not the right answer, halachically. It's like, look, maybe in Hanami, maybe that could have been a system and there's disadvantages, but maybe there's advantages to that. Like you don't run into these problems, right? Of now you don't have a court. But the answer is because it's exerus kasef, Elohim ba'inan, is that the Parsha Mishpatim sets up all the laws, Elam Mishpatim. And it says in that Parsha, Elohim, that you need expert judges, mumchum and smuchim. And that's the way the halachic system sets itself up, that these mishpatim can only be implemented through expert judges. And that's why just somebody with the requisite knowledge without smicha can't be done these cases because of the exeris akasif. Right? That's what I'm saying. In terms of the halacha, it's exeris akasif which creates that din and relegates the authority and the power to do that to a beis din of Elohim and takes it away from everybody else. But it's the philosophical question, why did the Torah do something like that? Why is that a better system than the other way of letting everybody have that power? So that's where you can speculate. It happens to be, this is easy to speculate. It's like you can kind of see the disaster, the danger that would happen with the system if it was the other way. But that's not really, right? There's two different, it's a different type of a question, different type of an answer. Yeah.
Can you explain again what you're saying about Sarah?
In terms of the Svara itself?
What
does Svara mean?
No, just can you explain what you're saying about that?
I'm saying that that Svara is authority, and it's implementing Mishpat demands you need authority to implement Mishpat because you're dealing with two people, and one you're forcing one guy to pay money to the other guy. Let's say the Mazik doesn't want to show up to court. He says, no, I'm not coming. You have to basically drag him in there. And he says, I don't want to pay. Well, you have to force him. You take his money. You have to hit him. I mean, there's kfiya. There's you're forcing people. It's an institution. Mishpat by a court is an institution which demands authority. It demands srara. And srara means authority, right? And therefore, the Torah is relegating that power. It's a power, basically. A court. A court has power in a society. That you take from everybody else, you know, from the natural state of nature, Hobbes or something, where everybody does their own din, and you relegate it to the court, and they have the ability to implement their justice, the mishpat, on everybody else. Okay, leaving aside the sugya of adam dinlatz, you know. So that's something that basically the Torah sets up. The official courts of the Torah are mumchim and smuchim. And those are the ones that are really bad, but they didn't. And they have the power. They have the power to be gova, to be gova. This is why I kind of try to bring it tied to the first point. They have the power to execute the mishpat. Okay. In terms of, the question is this, am I saying too much? But I think it just follows from the Gemara. Okay. Is that what I want to say is that it's the gvia, the actual collection of taking the money from Shimon and giving it to Reuven, that you require Elohim. That you require, because that's Srara, that's acting as an Elohim, an authority over Shimon and forcing him to pay money. But simply for Rava, acting as like a non-expert base, a non-expert court, just to evaluate and figure out what it is, where he's not going to actually do anything, he's not going to actually go over to Shimon and take his money and give it to Reuven, then that's not the court exercising their authority over Shimon. So there's no real srara for Rava. Even though he is a Beis Din in the sense that he's taking a chiyuv, which is an abstract potential chiyuv, depends how exactly you want to say it, and he's giving it, actualizing, giving it a concrete tzura, such that the chiyuv is real, and now Reuven can go grab it from Shimon. Even though he's not an Elohim, right? He's not an Elohim, but he could still do that because he is knowledgeable and he knows what he's doing, and his evaluation is an evaluation, because in the evaluation itself, there's no srara, there's no authority. He's not enforcing his will on Shimon. Who's enforcing his will on Shimon? Reuven, when Reuven goes and grabs it. So it's Reuven's exercising his personal power over Shimon if he can do it. If Shimon's too big, he won't be able to. Whoever is bigger, you know what I mean? Like that's between Reuven and Shimon. That's not Rava getting involved. That's not Rava and his Beis Din executing their mishpat, exercising their authority over the society. And therefore, even though, yes, it is a halachic action of Beis Din, the Shuma itself, and it's a necessary step and it has halachic consequences, it would seem, right, that is something that, since it doesn't require srara, doesn't require authority, this Gzeiras HaKasuv doesn't apply to it. It's not like the whole institution requires mumchim and smuchim. It's that the execution, the application of these dinim, which requires the authority of a court, that power has been relegated to a Beis Din of Elohim, of mumchim and smuchim. But the other aspects of it, which could have halachic nafkaminas, that the regular Beis Din can do, even if they don't have this official status of Elohim. Okay, you know, to me, I just say it seems like that just follows from this Gemara, I think. I'm not sure there's no hole in it, and think about it. I want you guys to think about it and see if I'm saying too much. You kind of see the steps that I took, right, and see if, like, it's solid, right? The fact that, right, why is Rava able to do this? It seems like it's a lucky nafka means a shuma from the prior Gemara we saw with the kid. And this Gemara itself, the Tafas, if he grabs it, it seems like he can't keep it if there was no Shuma. Right? Rava's doing that. He's not doing that from, I think Gemara's about to say, the Shlichus Sahihu, because this is not an area where the Shlichus of Beis Din Eretz Yisrael applies. Okay, that's from later Gemara, we're about to see, but we know that. It's hard. It doesn't seem like you can say it's from the Shlichus. We can keep that in mind. That's something that we can work out. Maybe we can, that's one way to undermine what I'm saying, if we could do that. We could show that the Shuma is really coming from the Shlichus. I don't think so, but we'll keep that in mind for tomorrow when we go forward, if there's a way to undermine what I'm trying to say. But assuming you can't, assuming simple shot is you can't say there's a Shlichus or Israel because it's not Shchiyah. Okay. So then, so the Shuma is a real halachic thing. It's in this institution of Adam Bishor, which requires Elohim. And still, even though Rav is not Elohim, he's able to do it. But he can't be Gova the Chova. So what's the difference between the Shuma and the Gviya? Is the Shuma is just a halachic action. You requires expert knowledge to do, to concretize a chiyuv and to do an evaluation to figure out how much the evidence that the hezek is worth. But the Gviya is actually exercising the srara of Beis Din. And that's the Gzeiras HaKasuv of Elohim. Elohim is saying the aspects of these dinim which require srara, that's something that you can't do. That's something that you need smuchim, mumchim and smuchim in order to pull off. But the aspects of the Zinim which don't require Svara, that's fine.